Hello, noble viewers, and welcome to Planet Earth, our loving home. Today's program features renowned U.S. climate change expert, Dr. Stephen Schneider, who will discuss some of his recent research findings on global warming. Dr. Schneider is the Melvin and Joan Lane Professor for Interdisciplinary Environmental Studies, Professor of Environmental Biology, Professor by courtesy of Civil and Environmental Engineering, and a senior fellow at the Woods Institute for the Environment at Stanford University, USA. Dr. Schneider's studies focus on climate change, evaluating climate policies, and formulating technical solutions to global warming. Since the early 1970s, he has served as a consultant to U.S. governmental agencies and the White House. Dr. Schneider was given the 2003 National Conservation Achievement Award by the U.S. National Wildlife Federation and the 2006 International Environmental Award by Australia's Banksia Environmental Foundation. In addition, he founded the interdisciplinary journal Climatic Change and acts as its current editor. One of his latest books, Climate Change Policy, A Survey, will be updated sometime this year. Given his expertise in the area, Dr. Schneider was selected as the coordinating lead author for the Fourth Assessment Report, AR4, of the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize-winning Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC. He now explains how Earth is on the brink of more perilous climate change-related events from just a small rise in global temperature.
You recently co-authored a report concluding that even small increases in mean global temperature is likely to have far more serious consequences than the IPCC projected in 2007. Can you describe for our audience the research that went into this report and what its findings and conclusions were?
Well, a number of colleagues who were involved with the IPCC and I worked together to try to put together into one figure that summarizes everything, the range of potential impacts of human activities on climate and how that would then go downstream and affect agriculture and water supply and ecosystems and species and coastlines and indigenous cultures and fires and a wide range of questions. Now, we based that paper, even though it came out 2 years later than the IPCC report did in 2007, on the science that was summarized in IPCC. What was new in that paper was this figure, which we call the burning embers. And what it does is it's a judgment of the authors to when there's an accumulation of evidence which suggests what level of warming could present dangerous outcomes. So the first reason for concern is unique and valuable systems. That could be the polar bear ecosystem, indigenous people living in high mountains in Tibet or in the Andes, where the glaciers are melting very rapidly, small island states where small sea level rises will be damaging, or people living vulnerable to hurricanes in Asia mega delta cities or even New Orleans. So those are the first people to feel climatic change. And we used to believe that the Earth could warm up another degree or two before they would be deeply threatened. But Hurricane Katrina, the Myanmar event, and the European heat wave and a number of factors in the last 5 years have convinced us that the situation is more dangerous than we used to think, and that maybe only another half to 1 degree of warming could trigger quite a large number of risks to people.
The great number of severe natural disasters in recent years has caused scientists to rethink their calculations about Earth's temperature and the tipping point for climate change.
Then there's another reason for concern, which we call extreme variability, hurricanes, fires, droughts, floods, and so forth. And again, the IPCC third assessment report, which was the year 2001, had said that these become more serious when we warm up maybe 2 degrees. to 3 degrees. And now we've found again that there have been an increase in extreme variability, especially droughts and floods, and that that's already been causing damage. As a result of that, we lowered the threshold of seriousness to maybe a degree and a half.
The effects of climate change are widespread, but at present, some of Earth's inhabitants are suffering much more than others.
Then we looked at another reason for concern, which is equity. That's the difference in impact on rich and poor, on coastal dwellers and mountain dwellers, on men or women, on elderly. And what we found again, from the fires in the U.S. West, which lead to smoke plumes that send children to the hospital with asthma and other things, there are special groups that are affected by climate change more than other groups, and that's an inequitable distribution of impacts. And therefore, we have to have adaptation strategies to help these particularly vulnerable people. And that was another point that was in the IPCC, but what we did is put it again on our iconic figure. So what we have to do is we have to take a look at the relative unfairness at which climate impacts occur, and we believe that that's, again, more serious than we originally thought.
The melting of polar ice is increasing at a tremendous pace.
And the final one is perhaps the most serious, which is abrupt events and irreversible events, things such as melting Greenland, creating many meters of sea level rise for thousands of years. We used to believe that you'd have to warm up 4 or 5 degrees for that to happen. Now, in the last 10 years, Greenland has been melting so much faster than anybody's theories had predicted, and parts of West Antarctica are coming apart, that people are beginning to think it is even possible that at 2 degrees, we could see very significant likelihood of deglaciating Greenland and other components like that. So we again lowered the threshold from about 5 down to more like 2.5.
When we return, Dr. Schneider will continue discussing the dangerous melting occurring at the poles. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Planet Earth, our loving home. Dr. Stephen Schneider, Professor of Interdisciplinary Environmental Studies at Stanford University and coordinating lead author of the 4th Assessment Report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, is discussing his recent research on the state of global climate change since the release of the highly influential 2007 Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change Report.
Unfortunately, there is no data on the future. All we have is data on the past. So what we do is we look at the history of climate, and we find that 125,000 years ago, when temperatures around the world were 1 to 2 degrees at most warmer, that the sea levels were 4 to 6 meters higher. Now, how did that happen? Because most of Greenland and probably part of West Antarctica, and that's not the big Antarctic ice sheet, but the west part, which sticks out north and is much more vulnerable to warming, we're missing. So if we warm up 1 or 2 degrees, which is very likely, we're likely to warm up quite a bit more if business as usual continues and we continue to use the atmosphere as a free sewer to dump our tailpipe and smokestack wastes. But if we continue to do that, then we were going to cross a 1 to 2 degree warming sometime in the middle of this century. Would that mean that we're now committed to many meters of sea level rise? Probably. So we have argued that one has to work very hard to try to keep the warming under 2 degrees so that we have a much lower probability of reaching these dangerous tipping points in which you lose the coral reefs and you start getting many meters of sea level rise and irreversibly change the future.
In 2007 and 2008, the Arctic sea ice melted at an unprecedented rate.
ice. So the Arctic sea ice was predicted to be essentially completely gone in the summer, somewhere near the end of the 21st century. It's already been reduced in the summer by more than 20%. The Northeast and Northwest passages have been open at the same time for the first time in recorded history in 2008. 2007 and 2008 had the 2 years of the lowest amount of summer sea ice. And I've just read this in the newspapers. Oh, there's not any change, because from 1979 until 2009, there's still about the same amount of ice in February as there was, you know, now, as there was in 1979. Well, that's irrelevant, because you expect that in the winter. What's relevant is how it's disappearing in the summer. And there's another factor which they didn't tell you. In the wintertime, 20 years ago, most of the ice is what we call multi-year ice. That means that the ice from the previous year did not fully melt out. It survived, and then new ice from the new snow forms on top of it and more on top of it. In fact, more than half the Arctic was multi-year ice 20 years ago. Now, much less than half the Arctic is multi-year ice. So even in the wintertime, there's a dramatic reduction. This reduction was faster than anybody had forecast. Therefore, we lowered the level of risk associated with that unique system, because not of any theory changing, but because of the actual observations of the Arctic being more sensitive than we had originally envisioned to the relatively low warming we've had so far. 0.75 degrees C, 1.4 Fahrenheit. We're talking about more than doubling that as the best outcome we could possibly get. So the collected thermometers of the world, the melting glaciers, the expanding sea levels, the plants blooming earlier in the spring and birds coming back earlier in the spring from migration, clearly led us to say that warming of the planet is going on.
Next Wednesday's Planet Earth, Our Loving Home will feature part two of our interview with Dr. Stephen Schneider on the severe environmental impacts of climate change. Thank you for joining us on today's edition of Planet Earth, Our Loving Home. Up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May you have a peaceful, tranquil day filled with abundant love and light from heaven.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE.